Oh, I didn't really know what was next, so I'm a little, start looking up Luke 19, all right? Luke 19:28-40. We've already heard one rendition, if you will, one version of the triumphal entry. We're going to hear another one now. Listen to these words, Luke 19:28-40. After Jesus had said this, he went ahead of them, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, last verse is trying to tell us something important. Jesus is telling us that stones, no mouths, unable to speak, stones might be better tellers of the good news than human beings are. Human beings believe the good news, thankful for it, praise God for it, but stones, if given the chance, would do a better job at telling the good news of Jesus than you or I do. I am simultaneously amazed and embarrassed by that verse. Wow, the good news of Jesus is so incredible that if given the chance, even stones would cry out about it. Amazing. And wow, I'm doing my best to make that kind of miracle happen, and not in a good way. That's the embarrassing part. Me not opening my mouth puts stones in a better position to tell the good news about Jesus. That's embarrassing. To address that embarrassment today, we'll look at the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Of course, please take notes. Three columns. Turn the back blank page of your bulletin sideways. Here it is on the screen, too. I did my homework ahead of time. Left column, verse. Middle column, good news message label, and right column, an application, always starting with the word be this, be that, the other thing. Get it? We'll do that 8 times. 4 times this morning at this service, 4 more times at tonight's service, 5:30 p.m. You don't come tonight, you miss half the sermon, you walk around lopsided all week. Come tonight. All 4 renditions of the Palm Sunday triumphal entry story by the end of the day. You already heard 2, but it's in all 4 Gospels. This morning, it's the Mark and Luke versions of the story. Here's a quiz for the kids. Which 2 books of the Bible will we look at tonight? Kids, you know this one? What's on either side of Mark and Luke? What are they, kids? Matthew and John. Good job. That's tonight. Mark and Luke right now. Keep your Bibles open. First stop, Mark 11, verse 8. Picture what's happening. Triumphal entry. Crowd of people following Jesus wherever he went because, well, he healed and saved people. Did mighty signs and wonders. So people followed him. As Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the people start celebrating. He is their king. They're convinced. Who else could do the things he was doing? They're shouting, Hosanna, 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 praising this Messiah. Then they do their tradition, something similar to rolling out the red carpet today. We just had that fabulous Academy Awards event a couple of weeks ago, and what do they do for all those stars, those celebrities who are all better than us? They roll out the red carpet. First century Jerusalem, it was more of a dirty ecru colored carpet. That's how it's always portrayed in the movies. They spread their dirty tan colored coats or cloaks on the road and on the colt that Jesus was about to ride so the Messiah could come into Jerusalem in style, like a king. Red carpet, ecru carpet rolled out. Who names a color ecru anyway? It's a French word. Go figure. Now, verse 8, many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches, palm branches. Oh, so it's an ecru and green colored carpet. That's a little nicer. Now, they spread branches that they had cut in the fields. In other words, they had prepared for this. Gone out and cut those branches in the field. So one way the message of Messiah got told that day were by these actions. And these actions were intentional. They intentionally went into the fields to cut those branches used for this celebration. The good news message of Jesus, the Messiah coming, is an intentional message. People shouting, Hosanna! Spreading their cloaks, going to cut branches, all intentional things spoke a message of good news. The Messiah, our King, has come at last. He's here. He's going to save us from the Roman Empire occupation. The people, in their words and actions, were intentionally telling the good news. What's the application? May I suggest that it's be deliberate. There's a good news message to be given to touch the word with, and we need to be deliberate about it. That means we're open to what God wants us to do. It means praying for an open spirit for us to be used to spread the good news. Means praying specifically that God will bring a person into our lives and that our relationship will get to such a point with that person that God will make an opportunity arise through which we can share our faith. And when he does, we're praying that we will indeed speak up deliberately. As petrified, apathetic, self-conscious, as I'm sure many of us are, if we can rise up out of our apathy enough to lift deliberate prayers to God about this, he will change our attitude, give us courage, whatever we need to open our mouths. We need to be deliberate in order to share the good news we know about Jesus, that he went on later this week to die on a cross, to pay for our sins, and then was raised up from the dead 3 days later to give us life eternal. That's our good news. We speak it deliberately. Second stop, Luke 19, verse 39. We're in Luke, the rest of the sermon. So if your Bible's open, turn there, Luke 19. Picture the scene. All these people and disciples of Jesus spreading cloaks, cutting branches, shouting Hosanna. An air of celebration. They're shouting out a message of good news. But as with any celebration, there are naysayers. Like at football games. Massive spectators all cheering for the home team. And for some crazy reason, a fan away from the home team, or the away team, I should say, got his ticket, who knows how he got it, right in the middle of all the home team fans. He sticks out like a sore thumb. He's wearing the wrong colors. Whenever he stands up to cheer, he stays seated. And when he jumps up to cheer, everyone around him scowls at him. I don't know, it'd be like a guy, let's just call him Arnie. And he's all decked out in green and white, sitting amongst all the Michigan maize and blue fans. Cheering at the wrong time. He's staying sad and seated when everyone else around him is happy and high-fiving. He's a naysayer in that section. Pretty soon people are telling him, just go home. They're spilling pop on him, throwing French fries at him. This Arnie would want to throw French fries at me right now. And I love you, brother. Go blue. There are naysayers. There are naysayers. Pharisees. Pharisees in this story. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, verse 39, they say, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They don't like what's going on. Don't like the commotion. But mostly they don't like the message being shouted. Messiah on the way. Hosanna. Hosanna to the king. They don't like it because it's a controversial message. Perhaps that's one of the reasons we freeze up today. The message, too controversial. No one wants to hear about a Savior who died on a cross for our sins. You calling me a sinner? You're so judgmental. What a hater you are. So much opposition to that kind of message. Too controversial. What's the application? You could write down, so what? Or too bad, but a nicer way to say it, everyone likes nice, is this: be bold. Be bold. So what if it's controversial? Too bad. So what if someone rolls their eyes at you? Too bad. Be bold. So what if someone thinks you're stupid for believing in a Savior? Too bad. Did you hear what Jesus said to the Pharisees, verse 40? He boldly answers them. I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. What an answer. Imagine it today. Don't roll your eyes at me. I've got to tell you this because if I don't, see those stones over there? They'll tell you. It's that important. Important enough for me to be bold. Third stop, Luke 19, verse 37. You see a whole bunch of excited people. Listen, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began what? Joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Listen to that loud, joyful praise to God. Can you hear it? The message is not just controversial. No, it's an exciting message too. It's a message that brings joy. The people are filled with joy in their hearts, lifting up joyful praise to their Messiah. They're sure of it. It's an exciting message for them, for us too. You know the message. Sure you do. You and I and every human being who ever walked this earth except Jesus have sinned against God. The punishment for sin, according to God, who created us, he ought to know, the sentence for even one sin against him, and we have all sinned at least once, probably once per month, once per week. Someone even said once, actually, we increase our guilt every single day because we sin over and over and over again. But even if it were only once, we are guilty in God's eyes. Guilty people, when it comes to an infinite God, receive an infinite punishment for their sin. Bible calls it hell, where sinners, you and me, and everyone else, will be punished with no possibility of an end to that punishment. It's eternal. The agony of hell is not a quick couple seconds, or 10 minutes, or a day or two, or even a 20-year sentence. It's a life sentence. And when that comes around, a life sentence means forever, forever tormented, suffering in hell for your sin. Forever. Let that sink in. That's the bad news of our message. Here's the good. It's exciting. Jesus, the Messiah, took on the punishment for all our sins. Took that punishment upon himself, paid for it all. He endured an eternal hell punishment as he hung on the cross for you and me. He endured it all. It would have taken eternally forever for us, but because Jesus is fully God too, he got it done for us on a single Friday as he was crucified on a cross. Now the best part. He tells you, you are pardoned because of what I did. And he offers that gift of pardon to us. And all we have to do is say, yes, I accept. I want it. And for the rest of my life, I live to thank you and to do what you tell me to do and follow you, Jesus. It's a message brimming over with excitement, filling us with joy. Because you couldn't do that. Get yourself pardoned like that. But Jesus did. No wonder we gather, want to praise Jesus. No wonder our children stand up front and praise Jesus. No wonder five young people will stand up and say, we want our lives from now on to praise Jesus. We're excited about what he's done for us. It's an exciting message. What's the application? Be encouraging. If something we said, a message we spoke, good news about Jesus we told someone gives them joy and excitement in their lives, then be encouraging. Be thrilled and rejoice with them, encouraging them any way you can. Worship with them, study the Bible with them, pray with them, share a wow with them about what God is doing in their lives. In any way you can, encourage them. If they have responded to the exciting message you shared with them, encourage them in their excitement and joy. But back up a few steps. Maybe you haven't shared that good news yet. How can you be encouraging? Simple. Invite them here. Invite them to a church service. Easter Sunday, of all things, next week. Invite them to church. To the people. The people are the church, of course. Not a building, first of all. Encourage them with an invitation. Have you anywhere to go next Sunday morning? Come to our Easter service. Encourage them to. What you got going on next weekend? Easter egg hunt for the kids Saturday? Cool. What about Sunday morning? Encourage them to come. I'll pick you up. I think you'll like it. I'll sit with you. It's pretty exciting. Good news, great joy, fills me with joy. Encourage someone with an invitation to church. Maybe that's where be encouraging starts for each of us. Hey, it's Easter Sunday. You coming? I'll drive. Fourth stop, last one this morning, Luke 19, verse 40. I tell you, Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. There it is. What a powerful message. Even stones long to cry it out. The stones are longing for every last Christian to be quiet so they can start telling the message. That's how powerful it is. Even stones want to cry it out if we don't. Application, be there. God help us, let us be there. Let us speak it when it needs to be spoken. If even stones know the power of the gospel message and desire to cry it out, then what, may I ask, is wrong with us? What keeps us from being there with the most powerful message in the world on our lips? What keeps us from being there? If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Wow! If we have a be there frame of mind for those who need to hear the message of Jesus, we won't have to worry about those stones. As much as the stones want to cry out, and they're everywhere, God wants even more to have us, the ones he's already blessed with good news, God wants us to be there. God will supply the power from his message. Let him worry about that, supplying the power. We just need to be there. Speak up. Not keep quiet. When my wife and I go for walks, we'll take turns kicking a stone down the road. She gives it a good kick, and then it's my turn to kick it as best I can in front of her. We do this a few times, back and forth, until the stone hooks into a ditch or slices off into someone's yard. That's us, beloved. No, that's us, beloved. God wants us to give those stones a good kick because we're there now and we get to speak up. That's who God wants. He wants us to be there to speak his powerful message of good news about Jesus. He wants us to be there. All right, four more tonight. Four more tonight. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the message. It is good news, the greatest news ever. Captivate us by it, like we've never been captivated before by it, so that, well, we will be there. And we will be bold, and we will be deliberate. Put that in us. Put that boldness in us. We don't want the stones to have to do it. Help us to be the ones to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.